brief Q&A following the film. Again, that's a screening of the film From Shock to Awe, A Journey of Hope and Transformation on Thursday, January 10th at 7 p.m. at Regal Cinemas Pioneer Place, 340 Southwest Morrison Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening and welcome to Prison Pipeline. My name is Emma Luke, host. Tonight I'm very excited to have on two filmmakers. We're going to be discussing the film In the Executioner's Shadow, which is the film that's going to be playing in Salem on January 15th at the Grand Theater. The film is about the death penalty and about three specific cases. So before I have our guests on, I'm going to read a little bit about the film to you. The Oregon premiere of In the Executioner's Shadow, a film about justice, injustice, and the death penalty, will kick off the 2019 Salem Progressive Film Series. The film has been recognized by several national critics and accepted at several film festivals. Critics from around the country have lauded the film as one that will get people talking, inspire viewers to question their originally held positions, and to disrupt complacency in regard to justice and the death penalty in America. In the Executioner's Shadow is written by American University professor Richard Stack, who wrote the book Grave Injustice, about the wrongful executions of 16 cases in America. Professor Stack's speaking tour in 2014 included stops in Salem, Corvallis, Portland, and Eugene. Maggie Stoner, Stack's co-producer of the film, serves as the executive director of American University's Center for Environmental Filmmaking. She is a professor of film and media arts at American University and brings over 30 years of filmmaking experience to the center, to her classroom, and now to Oregon. She spent 9 years with National Geographic, producing, directing, and writing numerous documentaries. She was also the senior producer of the award-winning weekly program Explorer and Ultimate Explorer. I love those shows. In conjunction with Oregonians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty, the film on January 15th at Salem's Grand Theater will also include a panel discussion that will include questions from the audience. On the panel is former Governor John Kitzhaber, who declared a moratorium of Oregon executions on November 22nd. Also invited to the panel are Frank Thompson, the former superintendent at the Oregon State Penitentiary, who oversaw 1996 and 1997 Oregon executions. Former Oregon Supreme Court Chief Justice Paul DeMunitz, and Jeff Ellis, director of Oregon Capital Resource Center and top death penalty defense attorney in the Northwest. In the Executioner's Shadow will be offered to community access TV stations throughout the state for public showings in cities and towns around Oregon. Individuals and organizations who would like to arrange screenings of the film may call Oregonians Against the Death Penalty at 503-990-7060. Again, that's 503-990-7060. And now a discussion with the filmmakers. Good evening and welcome to Prison Pipeline. This is Emma and I'm here tonight with Richard and Maggie. We're going to be talking about their film that they just made that is going to be airing in Salem. So good evening and welcome to Prison Pipeline. So first of all, let's talk about the film In the Executioner's Shadow. Can you, let's start with you, Richard. Can you tell me what inspired you to make this film?
Well, I've been working on death penalty issues for more than 20 years. I have written a couple books on the topic, but when I got a chance to collaborate with Maggie, my colleague at American University, it was my first opportunity to really do visual storytelling, and it has such impact to be able to see stories unfold. You get more emotion than you do from a book, and I think you're able to get maybe more power across in a shorter period of time. So that was the inspiration for me to do this documentary.
And Maggie, what about you? What inspired you to make this film?
Well, I think several things. I was very inspired by Rick's work, and I think that the idea that we have with death penalty in this day and age in our country, we're the last country in the Western developed West to have the death penalty, to use execution as a punishment, is just unacceptable. And so I was inspired by Rick's work. I thought there's a film here and we should make it and sit out there where it can do some good in helping to overturn capital punishment.
Great, thank you. So Richard, can you tell me a little bit about the film? What is the film about?
Sure. We tell three very personal, very powerful stories. Individuals who have gotten unique experience with the death penalty. We tell it from their point of view. They tell their own story. One story is that of a family who lost their young adult daughter to a very violent crime. And it's a story of amazing forgiveness. The Schiebers, Vicki and Sylvester Schieber, are the parents of their murdered daughter, Shannon. And they wind up fighting to save the life of their daughter's killer. That's one story. I'm not going to go into great detail here, but I just want to give you an idea of where this documentary goes. On the other end of that spectrum, we tell the story of Karen Broussard, who was a witness at the 2013 Boston Marathon. She was at the finish line as a spectator when the bomb went off, and she, her husband, their daughter, some of their best friends were all injured to the point of requiring hospitalization. Karen, in the aftermath of the scene, had a quote in the Boston papers that we picked up on. She said, "On the one hand, I'd like to strangle that kid myself," the kid being Tsarnaev, the surviving bomber. But she said, "On the other hand, I have a 19-year-old son, and I really don't want to be part of somebody else losing their life." And as a victim, she was asked by the judge, you know, "What's your opinion?" And that's exactly what we asked her, and she allowed us to follow her thinking in real time over the course of about 18 months. And she agonizes, and I won't give the plot away, but she represents a different point of view on the death penalty, different than the Schiebers. And the fulcrum in between these two stories is our title character, Jerry Givens, the former chief executioner for the state of Virginia. He executed 62 men over a 17-year career, had an epiphany late in his prison work, in his work as an executioner, and is now a leading advocate to repeal Virginia's death penalty. So his story runs the gamut from someone who is very much in favor of the death penalty to someone who's opposed. So we intertwine those three stories, and we also inject a Greek chorus of experts who give different points of view and hopefully give a very well-rounded picture of what this I consider tragedy in our society is all about.
Maggie, is there anything that you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, I think I'd like to talk for a minute about the purpose of the film, because I think we started out very much thinking, you know, we both come from an anti-death penalty background and perspective, but that it's really important to ask, well, why are people still supporting capital punishment in this country. And over 50% of the time that we started making this film, over 50%, over half the people in the United States were still supporting the death penalty. That's dropped some since then, but not a lot. And it, I lived in Oregon for several years in Hood River, beautiful place. My son Douglas and daughter-in-law Alexia lived in Portland. Oregon's an incredibly independent state. I remember being on a town hall panel about whether or not there should be the right to die. And I think that when we have these discussions about these really core issues of things that define us as individuals and as a society, we have to be able to talk about them and discuss them. And that was our work purpose in setting out to make this film, and why we chose the characters we chose to include in the film, was to make it something that was a catalyst for discussion, not just a preach to the choir piece or an advocacy piece, but really to be able to enable organizations to use it as a discussion catalyst.
Right.
Thank you.
And if I could pick up on that, our three characters and the reason why we made this film, the very first showing was actually it wasn't the full documentary, but a clip, about a 15-minute clip, and after the clip was a panel that included all three of our featured characters, the Schiebers, Karen Bessard, and Jerry Givens, and they had never met before. It was the first time they were meeting. They were really happy to be part of this project. They were delighted to get to know each other. But the dialogue, the conversation that happened on stage as the three of them were talking with and to each other was so moving, so powerful. The resonating feedback from the audience was, I've never seen so much empathy on one stage. And if we can accomplish that in the context of the death penalty, if we can have such a controversial issue talked about with so much clarity, with true, genuine emotion, but with sympathy and empathy for each other, I think there's great hope for solving such issues.
Add to that.
Well, I think that we all recognize we're in a world where civil discourse is really key to moving forward and being able to embrace a society where we can all live together and sort out our differences in a way that's not harmful to each other. And so I think that this film not only engages people in, as Rick pointed out, with great empathy, you know, and discussing a very emotional issue, but it also sets kind of a model for how we can discuss a lot of different issues, and I think that's particularly important in this day and age.
Thank you. You are listening to KBOO Community Radio. My name is Emma Lugo, and I'm co-host of Prison Pipeline here in 90.7 FM. We are talking with Maggie and Richard about the film In the Executioner's Shadow, which is going to be playing in Salem on January 15th. Stay tuned. We will repeat the time and place at the end of the show. We are talking about the death penalty and the terrible price of wrongfully executing people and the terrible price of executing people, period. For me personally, my own journey on this most recently was last month. I was in Tennessee, which is where I moved from. I moved to Oregon from Tennessee about 10 years ago. And we had a dear friend pass away this fall. So we were in Tennessee for a memorial service. And while we were at the memorial service, we ran into two friends. And they were visiting Tennessee from England. And these two women, Mary and Jean, travel to the United States, and they visit people on death row every year. This is what, they're just ordinary middle-class Britons, and they travel to the United States every year. And for their entire vacation, they go to Riverbend, they go to San Quentin, they go to Chowchilla, and they also go to the one in Texas, and they visit people on death row. And they were in Tennessee just 1 week before David Miller was executed. David had been on death row for 34 years, and He was executed on December 6th. So that got us started on having a conversation once again about the death penalty, which Americans like to forget that we have it. And it's a terrible, terrible punishment. It's inhumane. And so we're just talking about that tonight on Prison Pipeline. Even though we do have a moratorium on the death penalty here in Oregon, it was less than a generation ago that we executed people here in Oregon. And there are still lots of people in living memory who were around for those executions. And Oregon still has a standing death penalty, even though there is a governor's moratorium on it that our governor, Kate Brown, has continued to honor, as the governor before her, John Kitzhaber, did. You know, if there was a Republican who stepped in, like Dennis Richardson, who's the current Secretary of State, there's no guarantee that there wouldn't be more executions here in Oregon. And I know we have at least six people on death row in this state. So let's start with you, Richard. Can you tell me a little bit more about the death penalty, just some general statistics, like how is it practiced in the United States? Who is actually getting executed, and why doesn't the death penalty work?
Well, let me start with the number of states that still execute versus those who don't. Your neighboring state, Washington, became the 20th state to repeal its death penalty just a couple months ago, back in October. So that means 30 states still do it. It doesn't work, to answer your last question, for a number of reasons. No longer do even pro-death penalty advocates believe that it's a deterrent for other people to stop committing crime. Mostly, executions are conducted in the dark of night, in the far recesses of rural prisons. Often people don't even know they're happening. You really have to be tuned in to the criminal justice world to know when an execution's happening and who's being executed. So it doesn't work as a deterrent. It's more expensive. This is a very counterintuitive argument, but I think this one may ultimately win the day as government resources dwindle and are more scarce and more precious. It costs more to execute an individual than it does to keep him alive for life. Again, that's a little counterintuitive, but there's so much investment in making this decision right. This is one of the decisions that a government has to get right. They can't just arbitrarily kill people without thinking that they're absolutely right, and to be absolutely right is quite difficult. So another aspect of why the death penalty doesn't work is the innocence issue. You've got the statistics are for every 9 people who are executed, there's 1 exoneration. So we've got a 1 in 10 likelihood that someone is innocent who's sitting on death row. You've got a racist factor. There's a direct line that can be drawn from our country's awful history on slavery to emancipation to Jim Crow to mass incarceration. There's a direct line there, and it's a way for one race to keep another race subjugated. And with the mass incarceration, the biggest fear of all, of course, the tip of the very worst of the iceberg, is executing people, is killing human beings, killing inmates. Another little known fact is that on the death certificate of someone who is executed, the cause of death is listed as homicide. So it's the state, it's the executioner taking the life of another human being. And that's part of the story that we tell in The Executioner's Shadow. The title character, Jerry Givens, really tells an inside story that no chance to hear.
Thank you. Maggie, can you talk about the process of filmmaking? How does making a film tell a story that needs to be told? How does the message you're trying to get across in The Executioner's Shadow work through the medium of filmmaking?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it's this was one of the hardest films on so many levels that I've ever made, and I've been making films now for probably 30 years, and it was hard because of the emotion involved. And the balance that we needed to strike in being able to provide a platform for people to really bring us into their lives, to bring the audience into their lives in an intimate, personal way. And I think an effective film is about doing that, to connect the audience to the voices of people in an emotional way, in an intimate way, in a caring way, so that you're swept into their stories and really want to understand why they make the decisions they did. What was their experience? What did they face? What were the challenges? Why did they make the decisions they made? And you know, with the Schubers, the idea that they would stand in front of a very aggressive prosecutor and the judge and say, no, we do not want the death penalty. We are going to fight for the life of our daughter's rapist and murderer. You know, that's just inconceivable to say that. So the challenge was to, you know, let them tell their story in a way that helps us understand the story of the executioner, Jerry Givens. Very few people understand what that's like to be an executioner and be on the execution team. You know, execution was taken behind prison walls back in the 30s and 40s, and so it's out of sight. So it's not a community situation. It's not something we see or really hear about. It's behind these big walls of the prisons, and so what does that? What's the personal effect on the executioner? How does that affect? You know, he kept this a secret for the entire 17 years that he was conducting executions. It was a secret from his family, a secret from his wife even, because that was the code that you didn't tell anybody outside of the execution team. You know, what is that like to carry that around? What is it like to carry around the possibility that you may have executed an innocent person? You know, that's the we're all in that shadow of the executioner when we know that's a possibility. So with Karen, you know, her thoughtfulness, I have to say, in all my years of filmmaking, that first interview with her was the most raw interview I have ever done. She probably cried 80% of the time. It was just shortly after, maybe 3 months after the Boston Marathon bombing, and she just was letting it all out. And to sit there and just be able to listen and capture that and then share that through the film is remarkable. It's a remarkable experience, but it also, I think, is the most powerful way to reach people and engage people in this issue.
Thank you. You are listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Community Radio. We're discussing the film In the Executioner's Shadow, which will be aired on January 15th in Salem, Oregon. And it is about three stories of the death penalty and the stories of those people. And we're talking right now with the filmmakers, Richard and Maggie. We've got about 5 minutes left. So Richard, let's start with you. Is there anything that we haven't discussed so far about the film that you'd like to make sure to get in?
Yeah, well, I think I'd like to tell a little bit of the backstory of how the title came to be. The working title very early on was from one of my books called Grave Injustice. And when we sought funding through government sources and nonprofits, they would all say, well, Grave Injustice is a little bit of a slanted title. It's a little, you know, biased. And I'd push back and I'd say, well, you know, it could be considered grave injustice if you thought somebody didn't get enough punishment or somebody got off. But I also realized that if I had to explain it, it didn't work as a title. So Maggie and I spitballed a couple hundred titles back and forth and back and forth. And all the while, our underlying thought here was, we'd like to come up with something. We have to come up with something that is balanced, that shows, you know, we've got all sides covered here. And Maggie came up with the idea, In the Executioner's Shadow. And as she mentioned a moment ago, what it really implies is that whether you are in favor of the death penalty or opposed to the death penalty, we all live in the shadow of this poor soul who's doing the dirty work for all of us. And I think when we get to know him a little bit better, when we get to know both sides of this issue a little bit better, I think we're all going to be more enlightened and we're all going to make better decisions.
Thank you. Maggie, we've got about 3 minutes left. Is there anything that you'd like to add that we haven't discussed?
Yeah, think a couple of things. One is that former Chief Justice Marshall Thurgood said at one point when he was reviewing capital punishment in the 70s and whether or not it should be reinstated, he said, you know, if you really understand what this is about, the biases, the cost, the human cost, the consequences, if you really understand what capital punishment is about, you're hard pressed to do anything but reject it. You know that you can't support it if you really understand what it's about. And so that was part of my motivation of trying to create a film. And I have to say the collaboration with Rick has been just outstanding. You know, we created a film together to help people really understand, not just on an intellectual level, but on an emotional level, the consequences of capital punishment. And I'd just like to add that the screening in Salem is the start of a multi-month campaign using the film to help educate people about capital punishment all across Oregon. And we also have a campaign going in Pennsylvania and with several organizations on a national level. So we just hope to get this film out there as much as possible. If anybody's interested in hosting a screening, it's available through New Day Films. It's www.newday.com. That's our educational distributor, and people can just go to that site and either stream or buy a DVD of the film and use it for home screenings. You know, getting this discussion going among friends and family communities is what's really going to make a difference. The grassroots approach is incredibly powerful, so we hope that people will consider organizing screenings.
Thank you. We have been talking.
Emma, if we have
sure, Rick.
Another moment, I would also like to say that your listeners are sitting in Oregon, obviously. They should be aware of Oregonians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty. Let me give a website there, www.oad.org. And through that website, they're going to get all the information they need to get active in the state of Oregon. And then one final thought to complement Maggie's thought about Thurgood Marshall. When Sister Helen Prejean, the author of Dead Man Walking, is asked, why does the death penalty persist? She says, it's because people don't want to think about it. And that's what we're trying to do, is get people to think about it.
Thank you. And we have been talking tonight with Richard and Maggie, the producers of In the Executioner's Shadow, which will air at the Grand Theater in Salem, Oregon, on January 15th. If you'd like more information, you can also contact the organization Oregonians Against the Death Penalty. You can reach them by phone at 503-990-7060. And this film is also available through the generosity of Maggie and Richard on community access television and for public screenings. So please, if they'd like to reach you, Richard or Maggie, how can they reach you all?
Maggie, you want to give them our website?
Yeah, so our website is www.executionersshadow.com, and we can be reached through that website.
Great. Thank you so much.
www.executionershadow.com.
Great. Maggie, Richard, thank you so much for being on Prison Pipeline, and good luck with your screening and with your work. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Emma. Thank you.
Emma, thank you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Good night.
But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
KBOO at the Clinton is a monthly film series that benefits your community radio station. This month, we'll screen Don't Look Back on Thursday, January 10th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. Don't Look Back is a documentary film following Bob Dylan during a three-week concert tour of England in the spring of 1965. The film chronicles Dylan's concert appearances, hotel room conversations, and downtime, pulling back the curtain on Dylan on the cusp of his creative shift towards rock music.
Again, that's Don't Look Back on Thursday, January 10th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Then we walked back to the road, unchained.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the third annual David Bowie Memorial Bike Ride on his birthday, Tuesday, January 8th. Come ride your bike around Portland with Diablo as we celebrate the life and music of David Bowie with a mobile dance party and sing-along. Again, that's the third annual David Bowie Memorial Bike Ride at 8 p.m. on January 8th at the corner of Southwest Broadway and Main in downtown Portland near the Schnitzer. More information can be found on the KBOO website under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Counter Rally for Reproductive Justice on Saturday, January 19th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland. On the 46th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, this rally is in support and solidarity with all people who have considered, are considering, or have received abortions. It is a protest of the Rally to the Oregon Right to Life March and will celebrate our victories in imagining a future where every person has access to the reproductive health care they want and deserve. Again, that's the Counter Rally for Reproductive Justice on Saturday, January 19th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square on the southwest corner at Morrison and Broadway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.